I would like to call the March 7th, 2023 Planning and Zoning Commission to order. Good evening, everyone. Thank you all for joining us tonight. Ms. Ancona, could you please give us a roll call?
Commissioner Clark?
Here.
Here.
Commissioner Nichols?
Present.
Commissioner Outlaw Ryan?
Present.
Vice Chair Sturman?
Here.
Chair Harrington?
Here.
And Commissioner Posey is excused.
Please join me in a Pledge of Allegiance. Just a little housekeeping. Please silence your electronic devices. Bathrooms are out the door to the right, water fountains. If you wish to speak tonight, there are call to audience during call to public eating. Please feel free to fill out a blue card in the back of the table. Sorry about that. Please give your completed blue cards to Ms. Ancona, our recording secretary. At this time, any members of the public is allowed to address the commission on any issues not listed on today's agenda. Pursuant to Arizona Open Meetings Law, individuals, commission members may ask town staff to review the matter. As ask any matters be placed on future agenda or respond to criticisms by speakers. However, the commission may not discuss or take legal action on matters raised during call to audience. In order to speak during call to audience, please specify what your wish to discuss on completed on the blue card. All right. Ms. O'Connor, do we have any additional blue cards? I wish to open call to audience. Looks like we have a Debbie Patrick. Please state your name and if you're an Oro Valley resident.
Yes. Debbie Patrick, and I live at 9369 North Calle Buena Vista. And I'd first like to start off and compliment Oro Valley what you've done at Steam Pump Ranch. I was there at the market, and I grew up in and out of that area, and they had the John and Cheryl's Lieber's house open for everybody to tour, you know, through it. And I just thought how great it was, you know, growing up there, being in and out and knowing those people. And now all of these residents of this area get to experience a little bit of that history. And I just want to compliment what you've done there, because that could have disappeared very easily. I'd also like to thank everybody for supporting the neighborhood. And so far, you know, we've got this battle going on with a rezoning, and it's been very stressful. But I'd like to compliment and thank everybody for your consideration and everything that you've done so far. I wanted to just speak briefly about the history of our neighborhood. I was a student at Canyon del Oro, and I met Mary Lee Shields at eighth grade at Canyon del Oro. We were both first graduating class from CDO. And her father was a farmer, and my dad was a farmer. And they took the dirt and made mud adobe and dried it in the sun and made a two-room house. And that's where Mary Lee was born. And when they came along a little further, he built the dream house for his wife. She was pregnant with her fifth child, and he built the dream house. And I live in that dream house right now. It's a very modest brick home. Four bedrooms, And it's a little piece of heaven at the bottom of Push Ridge. So that's what Mary Shields said when I bought the place from her, as I hope you know, you have a little bit of heaven. I love the culture, and of course it was a dirt road back then, and we all bought citrus, and this was my my sign I brought tonight. This is one of the original signs. That's 25 cents a pound. And we all went and bought citrus and peaches there. And it was a great place to grow up, and I'm almost out of time. So I'd just like to please say to continue to realize that we have a very unique culture there, and we'd like to preserve it. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Next, we have Tim Taras.
Mr. Chairman, Commission, and staff, my name is Tim Taras, and I am a resident of Oro Valley. I live at 9291 North Calle Buena Vista, directly across the street to the west from the Oro Valley Church of the Nazarene. Our group realizes that this commission has rejected their rezone request, and the church has paused their application. It is not clear at this time if they will attempt to reengage this commission, so the Concordia Buena Vista group wishes to continue to show our opposition in the event it is resubmitted. Tonight I'm going to speak in perspective on where large items might fit. Choosing a random location, I pick 500 West Concordia, the site of the church. On this R144 residentially zoned parcel, the following would fit: 8 Boeing 747 aircraft, 6 St. Louis Gateway arches, 4 Saturn V rockets, 2 Empire State Buildings placed horizontally, or 1 Gerald R. Ford nuclear class aircraft carrier. Obviously, no resident of Oro Valley would ever consider having overly large items such as these that take up space, draw crowds, and make a lot of noise anywhere in our community, much less in a residential neighborhood. There is one item, however, that just will not fit: shoehorning an unwanted sports complex into the only existing neighborhood of this type in Oro Valley absolutely makes no sense. Having the items that might fit in the neighborhood would be a novelty, but having the one item that would not and absolutely should not be there would be a disaster for the families that live there and don't just visit on Sunday. Thank you very much.
Next, we have Doug Dalby.
Good evening, commissioners. I'm here to, my name is Doug Dalby. My wife and I are Oro Valley residents and have lived on Calle Buena Vista for 43 years. Our property's southeast corner touches the northwest corner of the property that OVC and recently acquired and is now trying to rezone. And I realize that rezoning was denied, but because it was postponed and we don't know exactly, you know, what's going to happen next is the reason, you know, I'm here tonight. But we are very much opposed to the request to rezone for multiple reasons that have been enumerated to you over the past 2 years, not only by me, but also by all of the adjoining neighbors. I won't recap them tonight. This is simply not the right location for a project of this magnitude. In a recent article in the Explorer, when Paul Olin, the church representative, was asked if OVCN had, quote, looked at other locations that might be compatible for this use, close quote, his reply, referring to the church, actually summed it up nicely for the opposing homeowners. Referencing the church, he stated, quote, this is home for them and they have invested in it significantly over the years, close quote. He's exactly right, but to them in this scenario is us, the homeowners who have made their homes here and have invested significantly in them and are opposed to this expansion. This is truly home for us and not simply a place where we spend 1 or 2 hours a week if our schedule allows it. If OVCN's legal correspondence to the town of Oro Valley on 6/13/22 regarding religious use exemptions for this property, they cited the example of Christ Church of the Valley utilizing a sports program as a means of ministry and the document stated that Christ Church's Valley STARS program, their sports program, was utilized, quote, in many locations across the valley. As homeowners, we are willing to do our part to help facilitate a satellite campus where OVC and sports ministry at a suitable location by helping OVC and find that suitable location where Oro Valley can be able to proceed with its ministry without disturbing or destroying a historic residential rural neighborhood and altering the reason for OVC and for Oro Valley's 1974 incorporation. Please help us protect this unique neighborhood in Oro Valley from commercial encroachment and deny the request to rezone again. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next, Tim Fagan.
Good evening. My name is Tim Fagan, and I'm a resident of Oro Valley. I also want to talk about the historic nature, and I'm going to start with a little bit about myself so you understand my perspective. I'm a fourth-generation Arizonan. I was born and raised in Phoenix in an area similar to the Linda Vista Citrus Tracts. We had outstanding mountain views to the east, as we do here. It was sparsely populated, and adjacent on our north was a citrus orchard. Even through high school, I could saddle my horse, ride past a few houses, and look off over Paradise Valley, which I watched grow from several houses to the city of Scottsdale. When I was in second grade, my father went back to school at the U of A. We lived in the Quonset huts that were married student housing just north of where the College of Medicine now stands. My mother kept her horse by the Rito River and rode up into the basically undeveloped foothills of the Catalina Mountains. I returned to Tucson in 1981 as a faculty member of the College of Medicine. After a few years, we purchased a house in the historic Linda Vista Citrus Tracts at 360 West Linda Vista, where I kept a stallion that I got when I was 14, and he was a three-month-old colt. In 1991, my wife and I built our house on 3.3 acres at 9510 Calle Buena Vista. I kept a stallion, and three generations descended from him until the last one died. There are still over 150 horses in this area. We have several of the surrounding area developments are probably eligible for residential historic status in the National Historic Register. Has to be 50 years since it was founded. That includes Shadow Mountain Estates, Oro Valley Estates, and Campo Bello. And they, with Linda Vista Citrus Tracts, form most of the historical center of Oro Valley. The historic character of our neighborhood and the lifestyle that accompanies it must be maintained for future generations. The OVC and rezoning and building must not be allowed. The sports ministry, which I support, can be built elsewhere in Oro Valley. Thank you.
All right, I will now close call to audience. At this time, I would like to turn our time over to Council Liaison, Council Member Jones Ivy.
Thank you very much. If you can't hear me, please wave your hand at me. My voice has a tendency to lower. I'm here for Vice Mayor and your liaison, Melanie Barrett, this evening. I want to give you an update on council activities. Our council meeting, our last council meeting in February, we held three public hearings. One was for the revised master sign program for Steam Pump Ranch, which was approved. The second was a public hearing also for the northwest corner of Tangerine and La Cañada. It was a conditional use permit request for a self-storage facility, also approved. Our third public hearing was for a proposed office and drive-through development for the northwest corner of Naranja Drive and La Cañada Drive for a conditional use permit. It also was approved. On the first of this month, OVCN, we were scheduled to hear their request, And they did put in for a postponement of that, as I'm sure you all know. On our consent agenda, we did approve four sets of our general plan community engagement advisory group draft minutes. And our next meeting is going to be next Wednesday, March 15th. We're going to have a public meeting on our 2026 general plan community engagement plan. Also a public hearing on the proposed office and drive-through development for the northwest corner of Naranja and La Cañada. That presentation will include a grading exception change request, conceptual site plan, and a conceptual architecture plan. I also want to put in a request for CDO Project Grad. Saturday is their second to the last decoration meeting, and we still desperately need volunteers to step forward for that. Please, if you'll go to cdo.p.g.decorations@gmail.com, and please sign up for one of the 2.5-hour shifts so that we can get our young people off to the best experience in their last 12th grade of high school. As the community, I'm asking you to please step up and let's support our young people in their endeavors so that they have a safe and sane grad night. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilmember Jones-Ivy. Next, Ms. Okono, will you please read agenda item number one?
Review and approval of the February 7th, 2023 regular session meeting minutes.
Do I have a motion on the floor?
Yeah, I move to approve the February 7th, 2023 minutes.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any nays? Any abstentions? Motion carries. All right. Ms. Okono, could you read agenda item number two?
Public hearing, discussion, and possible action regarding three items related to a proposed self and RV storage in the Mercado del Rio Commercial Center located north of Pushview Lane, approximately a quarter mile west of Oracle Road. The items include item A, conditional use permit for self-storage, item B, development and landscape plan for self and RV storage, and item C, architecture.
All right, Mr. Spaeth. Thank you.
Yes, thank you, Chair, members of the Commission, members of the audience. My name is Michael Spaeth, Principal Planner with the Town of Oro Valley. As Ms. Ancona just indicated, our purpose for this item is to consider three applications related to a proposed self and RV storage use in the Mercado del Rio Shopping Center. These items tonight are presented for discussion and possible action. To quickly orient folks with regard to the subject property, it is again located in the Mercado del Rio Shopping Center. It's approximately 5.3 acres in size, outlined in yellow on the screen. And the Mercado del Rio Shopping Center, of course, is north of Pushview Lane, approximately one quarter mile west of Oracle Road. You can see the site highlighted on the screen here is just east of Caliber Collision, Brake Masters and Oro Valley Automotive on the east, and then on the west is Oro Valley Adult Medicine and the Imogene Day Spa. The applicant is proposing an approximately 101,000 square foot self-storage use as well as an RV storage facility on two vacant lots that have been previously disturbed and graded as part of the overall site preparation. The self-storage building itself is proposed to be 30 feet and two stories, and the RV storage area is envisioned for 52 vehicle spaces. The site design does include lots of screening from the CDO multi-use path to the north, as well as the refuse and loading areas on the north side of the building, surrounding the entire RV storage facility on the south, and will have consistent architectural design between both uses. A little bit of background and history on the property. The site is zoned C2 or regional commercial, as shown in pink on the upper right-hand image. Again, the subject property is outlined there in yellow. In that zoning district, self-storage does require a conditional use permit. It is worth noting that the vehicle storage component is a permitted use in the C2 zoning district, so the conditional use permit itself is just for the self-storage use. The Mercado del Rio Shopping Center has a master development plan that is shown on the bottom right-hand image of the screen. That was approved in 2004 and established things like the lot layout for the center, the internal circulation, setbacks, buffer yards, things of that nature. Initially, pads were first graded and began being constructed in 2007, and currently it's about 60% vacant. The right-hand image there, lower right-hand image, shows where the stars are where there currently are buildings within the center. With regard to the portion of the center that the applicant's proposal is for, you can see on the left-hand image there were previously six either office or retail buildings that were envisioned in those two lots. And again, you can see the proposed design of the applicant on the right-hand side. Again, it does use the existing internal circulation within the center and is on those two previously disturbed lots. As many of you know, uses that require a conditional use permit require an extra layer of review, as they typically involve uses that have the potential to have impacts on neighboring properties, and that extra level of scrutiny is necessary to make sure that the use is a proper fit for the site and that any mitigation measures that are required have been incorporated. Of course, the code does establish specific review criteria for these types of uses, and I'll go through those in my coming slides on the proposal's conformance with those. And I'd just like to highlight that the key design focus for this particular use was, again, the screening, which I've already referenced, and the fact that it'll serve as a land use transition between some intensive uses on one side and less intensive uses on the other. So the first criteria is relative to protecting the public health, safety, and welfare. The applicant's proposed use is not expected to generate any hazards as part of their daily operations, though a condition has been included in Attachment 1 to make sure that hazardous materials are not allowed to be stored within the self-storage facility. With regard to an unusual volume or character of traffic, again, there are two points of access off of Push View Lane that are already there today. So the proposed design will be utilizing that existing circulation network. The RV storage will be within its own lot and behind, again, a fully screened-in area. And the loading zone, it's actually shown here with a blue star on the north side of the development, is on the rear side of the development. So the potential impacts for that to have any traffic impacts within the center are pretty minimal. With regard to compatibility and the surrounding uses, again, it's within an existing shopping center that's already been previously disturbed. It's adjacent to not only some more intensive uses, the automotive uses immediately east of it, but beyond that is the rear of a regional shopping center, the Rooney Ranch Shopping Center, where the Target and Fry's and those stores are located. So from a compatibility perspective, it's certainly compatible from the location perspective. Again, it will serve as an appropriate buffer in terms of a land use transition between those more intensive automotive uses to the east and the less intensive uses, the doctor's office and the spa to the west. Again, it will be also architecturally consistent with the design throughout the center, including the screen walls that will be incorporated. Again, I referenced those earlier, but for better context here on the graphic on the right, the orange dash lines are the areas where the screen walls will be incorporated. Again, it was a focus for us to make sure that those outdoor activities at the rear of the building were entirely screened from the CDO multi-use path. So that wall is going to be 14 feet tall and we'll have some additional landscaping on the outside to also help minimize any visual impacts. And then again, surrounding the RV storage area on the south side there, it's going to be a mix of 11 to 13 foot heights with varied wall planes, excuse me. That graphic on the bottom left is a representation of what that wall will look like. You can see that it's not just any screen wall. It's a well-articulated screen wall that will also have the same colors, materials, and textures as the primary building on the site as well. And really the aim here is as you drive by on Push View Lane or within the center, that the screen wall doesn't look like a screen wall. It looks like any one of the other buildings that could have been built in the shopping center. The third criteria is consistency with the goals and policies of the general plan. Again, compatibility with the surrounding area was a key focus. The site's, again, within an existing shopping center. It's well removed from any nearby residential and, again, has incorporated quite a bit of screening to make sure that the visual impacts are minimized as much as possible. And again, it will serve as a land use transition between those two intensities. The fourth and final criteria for the CUP is hours of operation. The applicant has indicated their operational hours will be 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. for the office component, as well as the customers themselves will have secure gated access beyond that from 6 a.m. to 11 p.m. Again, similar in hours of operation to some other uses over in the Rooney Ranch Shopping Center. The second item is a development plan and landscape plan. Again, it's for that self-storage facility and RV storage lot. Beyond the size and height that I've already talked about, again, there are two access points for the self-storage facility that are already there. It will include pedestrian connections both within the design and to the larger center beyond the design, as there will be water harvesting areas as well as some enhanced buffer yards. I mentioned earlier that the RV storage will be fully screened. There was one access point for that shown here with the blue star, which will be immediately across from the access for the primary access for the self-storage facility. And again, that existing curb cut is already there as well. So really making use of the existing network today. With regard to the landscape plan, I mentioned that there will be some enhanced buffer yards surrounding the screen walls, as well as landscaping throughout around the self-storage facility where building is not being proposed. And then again, the screening that we referenced already. The third item is the architecture. As you can see here represented on the screen is the self-storage building. The applicant has done a good job to try and make the facility look more like a office building in staff's opinion rather than a storage facility. So it incorporates varied roof and wall planes. The Mercado del Rio Shopping Center does have an approved master architectural design guideline, which this proposal is consistent with, and it uses approved colors and materials from that document that includes things like desert hues, rock veneer, and of course there will be parapet walls to screen any rooftop mechanical equipment that is required. I made reference of the RV storage screen earlier and how much of a focus that was for staff. So again, just to reiterate, that design goes well beyond a typical screen wall, and it includes varied heights and wall planes, not really a roof, sorry, and also incorporates similar textures, colors, and materials as the self-storage building. Just for context, I wanted to provide some images of existing buildings out there. Again, you see some similar colors and hues and textures and materials that will be incorporated within the proposed self-storage facility. So in summary, this is a public hearing for the self-storage use, but it also includes the RV storage. There are three items. And staff does recommend conditional approval of items A and B and approval of item C. I would like to point out that the conditional use permit is consistent with the CUP criteria of the zoning code, and the development plan, landscape plan, and architecture are consistent with, again, the master architectural guidelines for the center, as well as any applicable design standards and design principles in the zoning code. I would like to also just remind commission that the three items are related. So whatever the recommendation is from the commission on item one, or item A, excuse me, the recommendations for item B and C should follow along the same recommendation. So, Chair, that concludes my presentation, and the applicant is here as well to give a presentation, if you'd like.
Thank you. Looks like we have Mr. Paul Olin.
Good evening, Chair, Commission. Paul Oland with Paradigm Land, representing the property owner and developer. With me tonight, I've got Danny from Johnson Development, and Dale is going to talk about the architecture, too. You'll probably all be happy to know I haven't brought any lawyers or pastors with me tonight. So, Danny, if you want to hop up here.
Good evening. Thank you for your time. My name is Danny. I'm with Johnson Development. Just wanted to give a quick overview on who Johnson Development Associates is. We are part of the Johnson Group, and we have three divisions, multifamily, industrial, and self-storage. Self-storage is the division that I'm representing. Next slide, please. Oh, there we go.
Just for the record, could you state if you're an Oro Valley resident or not?
I am not an Oro Valley resident. So you'll see on the left-hand side, we have 45 active facilities that we're operating and managing. Our partners are typically Life Storage and Extra Space. In total, we have over 60 climate-controlled storage facilities that we have built to date. Next slide. So we're really invested in investing in our community. And developing a self-storage facility that can enhance the community. The pictures on the top are actual before photos. So typically it's a vacant or barren land, similar to this site. And then you'll see on the bottom are the Class A climate-controlled self-storage facilities that we end up building. As you can see, we use a lot of the top materials on these storage facilities and really take pride in building this. With that, I will go ahead and pass it on to Paul.
Thank you. Well, Mr. Spaeth covered a lot of the details, so I just want to highlight a couple of things. One thing is this site plan that's on the screen is actually not what we're asking you to approve. This was our first submittal. This is what we showed during the first of two neighborhood meetings. And the primary feedback that we got from the one neighbor who really showed up, who's the Oro Valley Adult Medicine, the doctor and his wife there, they had concerns about sharing access the way it's drawn here. Obviously we were trying to utilize existing access points that were already built as part of the Mercado del Rio overall plan. But acknowledging that they had some concerns about that, primarily because a lot of their patients are elderly, and the doctors felt that there might be some confusion and interactivity with some of the traffic for the storage facility, and also having another route that patients could accidentally take them on that would lead them in the wrong direction. So that was the primary concern that we heard. The other thing that they asked us to do was to beef up the landscaping buffering along our shared edge right there, and also add in a wall in addition to landscaping and a little more space to provide a little bit more visual privacy between these two areas here that I'm scribbling on. So this is a more familiar drawing. This is what's in your packet. So what we did was we used another existing access point, but rather than this one, we used this one over here and pulled the driveway off of that. We worked with town staff, with Mr. Laws and his group, just in terms of making sure that driveway separation and geometry there was all going to work. So we pulled it off of that one, that access point, pulled it around front like you can see. We also took our entire footprint, the parking, the access lane, and everything, and shifted everything east. So if you can see now, there's a good size buffer separating us from that doctor's office. We've also got, in addition to the landscaping there, we are going to put in a 6-foot decorative screen wall, which is exactly what they asked for. So at the second neighborhood meeting, they conceded that we had addressed those two concerns. So in addition, we've also been working with staff over the course of a couple of submittals to really refine the design of the screen wall around the RV storage here. That's now a little bit taller than we had originally proposed it. You can actually ignore that. So that's now, we worked with staff doing some visual cross sections, taking vantage points from Pushview Lane to make sure that the RVs were in fact going to be completely screened, which was our intent from the beginning. So we've adjusted the wall height, the articulation, and materials, like Mr. Spaeth said. We also added a wall along this back edge here to provide some screening from the CDO River Park path, and we've also added a wall next to the loading zone, all in coordination with staff per their requests and recommendations. And the last thing that we did in terms of changes from that first plan was we added some additional parking spaces along Vuelta Caminata del Rio. That is above and beyond what we need, but it will provide a little bit more parking just for the general area, especially the folks next door. So in terms of the CUP criteria, Mr. Spaeth went through those, a few high-level points. Again, no nuisance or danger created. Extremely low traffic, especially compared to most of the other C2 uses that are already outright permitted on this site. It'll help meet the demand for more self-storage for Moro Valley residents. And I know that's a question that's been asked, but there is significant demand. Oro Valley residents apparently have a lot of stuff they want to store, and the market supports that strongly. We will have modern and effective security measures, as with most modern temperature-controlled, internally accessed self-storage facilities. And we're also many, many hundreds of feet away from the nearest single-family residences. I'm, of course, happy to dive into any of the CUP criteria if you guys want to talk about those even more. But I think Mr. Spaeth did a good job of overviewing those. So, Dale, if you want to talk about the architecture.
My name is Dale Couture. I work for Ware Malcolm in Phoenix, Arizona. I'm a resident in Anthem, Arizona, a transplant from Washington State about 2 years ago, and I'm very happy to be in Arizona.
Can you speak into the microphone, please?
I'm sorry. So over my many years of being an architect, my desire has always been to blend in with the communities, whether it's a urban area or a suburban area. So it was very exciting to be able to go to the suburban area of Oro Valley and design a building that would be compatible with the area. So we reviewed all the requirements from the development and from Oro Valley, and it was a good chance for us to use the modulation of the facility and use the different textures and materials that are not indicative of the old time storage units. So it's been very nice to be able to do. We added at the staff's recommendation some shading along in the north so they can get everybody to the parking areas. Let's see, I think, so if we go to the elevations as we got it on the ones in the facing, which is the second elevation down. That's the one facing the front street. And then the top elevation is one on the rear. So we had to, we wanted to enhance that one so that it would be effective display of the office type structure for all the people walking on the path. So it was, we didn't want to just face everything on the street and make sure that everybody could have the same typical views from around the site so that it would be blending in from no matter what area you're going to be looking from. We picked the, this is the potential landscaping that we have generated, which gives a better idea of how we wanted to incorporate the different materials that we have incorporated on the building so that it would blend in with the area in the neighborhood. And let's see, we're back to that one. I think that's it.
Thank you. So, again, I'm happy to answer any other questions, any feedback. And we're okay with the conditions of approval as suggested by staff. Thanks.
Thank you. At this time, I would like to open the public hearing. Looks like we have one person to speak, Mr. Paul Loomis.
Good evening, Chairman and Commissioners. I didn't bring my bifocals, so you're going to be the blur. I'm Paul Loomis, a resident of Oro Valley. I'm speaking tonight as a neighbor and as one of the original council that approved the Mercado del Rio Master Development Plan. I'm not sure which of these items I like the least, the very large storage building or a large-term parking lot for RVs. Both of these uses, while allowed by code, do not fit the proposal that was presented to the council when the master plan was proposed and later approved. It was presented as a high-quality office, services, and shopping center. The approval at the time considered the apartment development to the south and especially the development of homes to the north. How would it affect the views from across the wash and from the hills above? The current two buildings in Mercado del Rio meet that description. The proposal in front of you does not. Disapproval of the CUP, unfortunately, does not prevent creating a large parking lot, though the developer has stated that it will not be developed without the approval of the storage facility CUP. That property is already used as a large parking lot today. Approval of the CUP requires that the characteristics of the proposed use are reasonably compatible with the types of use permitted in the surrounding area, and sufficient mitigation measures are employed to minimize the impact on the adjoining properties. A 100,000 square foot storage building is not compatible with the surrounding uses, not even reasonably, even with an 8 to 14 foot screen wall. There are reasons why the center was divided into 16 separate lots. I urge you to use your imagination and ask yourself if you think the storage facility less than a mile to the north is compatible with its surrounding area, the Basis School, the Pima Credit Union, and Steam Pump Ranch Historical Park. At least one of their floors is underground. Several of the tenants of Steam Pump Village have moved out since it was built. It doesn't fit, nor will this building fit into future Mercado del Rio as originally proposed. If this is approved, it will be the sixth long-term storage facility within less than 5 miles of each other. I urge you to disapprove the CUP for the proposed self and RV storage in the Mercado del Rio Center, finding that it is not a compatible use with the neighborhood.
Your time has elapsed. I'm sorry.
Okay, I've got one other thing. Just a couple of corrections. One, this site takes up 5 lots versus 2, and the automotive uses were the original buffer between the lots and the target center. Thank you for your attention in this manner.
Thank you. At this time, I will close the public meeting. public hearing. Now I'll open up the floor for commissioners. Any questions for staff or applicant? Commissioner Clark.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a couple of questions. Is there going to be anybody living on site at the storage facility?
No, ma'am. It'll be staffed during business hours.
All right. And then just the other question. So you spoke about the neighborhood meetings. We didn't get any information from attachment 7 was missing. Was that the only person, the doctor from next door, that had any comments at all about this?
Chair Harrington, Commissioner Clark, my apologies for not including that in there. So the two folks that actually showed up at the meeting were the doctor next door and then former Mayor Paul Loomis.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Does that satisfy your question? Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Commissioner Outlaw Ryan.
Mr. Chair, thank you. And this question could be directed either to Mr. Spieth or Mr. Oland. To Mr. Loomis's point, considering the conditional use permit, architecture, and landscape, have there been any studies or data on how the proposed development may encourage or deter future development of the vacant adjacent properties in the area?
So, Chair Harrington and Commissioner Outlaw Ryan, market demand has been determined by the developer. This, you know, Mercado del Rio was approved almost two decades ago, and it still sits 60% vacant, right? I think it's pretty safe to say that the demand for whatever that vision might have been, and I wasn't part of that. I have talked to the original developer. He's explained to me that the vision was always to provide some flexibility for the market to do what it will within the zones that were established. I understand what Mr. Loomis is saying. I would argue that compatibility is a subjective thing from one standpoint, but there's also a very technical aspect to it, and that's the process we've gone through with town staff. And they have determined that despite whatever might have been perceived as a vision 20 years ago, we have been determined to be compatible. We've earned staff's support.
Thank you, Mr. Holland.
Commissioner Nicholson.
Yes, thank you, Chair. Mr. Spieth, Mr. Olin just mentioned it's been two decades. Can you tell us how long this property's been vacant since originally graded, I guess?
Sure. Chair Harrington, Commissioner Nichols. So the first pads, the entire center itself was graded in 2007. So it's been disturbed for 16 years, sat vacant ever since. And if I could just add a little bit to what Mr. Olin said, you know, obviously the site is zoned C2, so there are permitted uses and conditionally permitted uses. And so regardless of what use is proposed, because the center has that master architectural design guideline that governs all of the site, whether it's an automotive use, a self-storage use, a restaurant, a spa, whatever, that's going to be the threshold and standard that we still hold them to regardless of what's there. So, and did I answer your question, Commissioner Nichols? Okay.
Vice Chair Sterman.
Thank you, Chair. What I'm kind of interested in is understanding the 11 o'clock hour opening to the building and access. Is there any justification for that?
Sure. So Chair Harrington and Commissioner Sterman, it's based on market demand. It's based on when people typically want to go access their units. Obviously, there's usually a bump after dinner in those evening hours. But it's all key card access, so you know only people who have a unit there can actually get in. But they've found through developing many of these things that staying open until 11, although there's not a lot of traffic at that point, it is that's an hour that actually does get used. They don't want to keep it open, you know, if it's not going to get used. I'm not sure if that answers your question or if you want to add anything, Danny.
So typically the facilities are actually open till 10 p.m. But like Paul had mentioned, we do have, it's only customers that have access to a key card. We do have cameras throughout the facility, both facing on the outside as well as the interior. And then we will typically partner with a security company. I don't want to list any names, but we do partner with them. And then if anything does happen, that security company will be alerted. But for the most part, yeah, it's only customers that have key card access.
Would you consider to go to 10 o'clock?
I'm sorry?
Would you consider of only going to 10 o'clock rather than 11?
Yes, absolutely.
The other thing I wanted to ask you about was the architectural design. What kind of, they look like windows, but what type of surface is you planning to place on that because of the reflection of the sunset and other types of glare?
I'm going to let Dale answer that, our architect.
Thank you.
Well, with the security of the building, we plan on using a spandrel glass.
Sorry, could you speak a little bit in the microphone, please? Thank you.
Okay. We'll be using a spandrel glass, so it won't be as reflective as you would normally see on a glass going through. So is it? It's not so mirrored.
So there's no glare and there's no transparency into the
correct
structure?
Right.
At all?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Any additional questions from any commissioners? Hearing none, is there a motion on the floor?
Chair.
Vice Chair Sterman.
Thank you. I move that we recommend approval of the conditional use permit for the proposed self-storage use subject to the conditions for item A in attachment 1, as well as the hours being changed from 11 to 10, based on the finding the request complies with all the applicable general plan and zoning code requirements.
Do I have a second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
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 The ayes have it.
Do we have any nays, Mr. Chair, just to make sure we have the right number written down?
Sure. Do we have any nays? 5-0. No nays. Thank you.
And Chair Harrington, just as a reminder, so there are 3 separate motions. Thank you.
Correct. Do I have a motion on the floor for item B?
I move to recommend approval of the proposed development and landscape plan for the proposed self and RV storage use subject to the condition for item B in attachment 1 based on a finding the request complies with the Mercado del Rio master development plan and all applicable zoning code requirements.
Do I have a second on the floor?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
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 Any nays? 5-0. Motion carries. Item number C. Do you have a motion on the floor?
I move to recommend approval of the proposed architecture based on a finding the request complies with the Mercado del Rio Master Architecture Guidelines and all applicable zoning code requirements.
Do I have a second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Any nays or abstention? Ayes carry. 5-0. Thank you. Ms. Acona, can you please read agenda item number 3?
Public hearing, discussion, and possible action regarding a proposed amendment to a conditional use permit for Caliber Collision located within the Mercado del Commercial Center north of Pushview Lane, approximately a quarter mile west of Oracle Road.
Mr. Spee.
Hello, Chair, members of the Commission again. Our purpose for this item, as Ms. Ancona indicated, is to consider a public hearing for a proposed amendment to a vehicle repair facility use in the Mercado del Rio Shopping Center for really twofold. The first is to seek permission to store outdoor vehicles on site and replace an existing condition that the CUP has today, and then also revise the concept or the CUP site plan to accommodate more vehicles within a newly constructed storage area. I'll provide more detail in my presentation, and again, these are presented for discussion and possible action this evening. The subject property for this item is located on Lot 11, shown here in yellow, again in the Mercado del Rio Shopping Center, north of Pushview Lane, west of Oracle Road. This particular lot is one of two owned by Caliber Collision and is just north of the Brake Masters and Oro Valley Automotive building. Again, just for some quick, let's go back to that. Sorry, flipped one page too far forward. Again, as I mentioned earlier, the applicant's request is twofold: to seek permission to store outdoor vehicles on their site within a newly constructed storage yard area, and to revise the site plan associated with the CUP to allow those changes. Those proposed changes increase the number of vehicle storage spaces by a little more than double, from 36 to 78. It will increase the height of the existing screen wall around the lot from about 3.5 feet to 8 feet to, again, fully screen those vehicles. It does include some enhanced landscaping to fill existing gaps within the landscaping that's out there today, and to also help minimize the mass of the new wall. The building outlined here in green is going to remain the same, so the only changes that are being proposed are for the lot surrounding the building. And then security gates are also going to be added to limit access to this area to Caliber Collision employees only. Again, quickly, just to go through some background on the site, the site is zoned regional commercial, or C2, and a vehicle repair facility does require a CUP. Again, the whole shopping center had a master development plan approved in 2004, and pads had started construction in 2007. This site was previously a Oro Valley car wash, and the Caliber Collision got a new CUP for it in 2014 when they expanded onto the property and converted it into a vehicle repair facility, similar to the building to the south. As part of that approval, there were two conditions placed on that CUP. The first was that no outdoor storage of vehicles were allowed. And that's the one that is being sought to be replaced this evening, well, as a recommendation. And then that all repair activities had to be taking place indoors. So that second condition is being proposed to be carried forward as part of the amended CUP. Caliber Collision did have a prior zoning violation related to the storage of vehicles outside, but I would like to point out that the applicant has diligently worked with the town to try and address that situation. They've signed a code compliance agreement, which was included in your packet, that included some steps that the applicant has already taken, which includes reducing the number of vehicles that have been stored on adjacent properties, as well as interior streets within the center. And really the last piece to that is what we're considering tonight, and then will be considered by town council, is the overall redesign of the site to be able to accommodate more vehicles so that they can be code compliant relative to their conditional use permit. Again, these types of uses require extra scrutiny to make sure that they're appropriate for their site and that the proper mitigation has been incorporated. With regard to this particular request, the key design focus, again, has been screening for the site, really screening from the CDO multi-use path to the north, as well as future development to the west, including the item we just finished discussing. With regard to the first criteria under the conditional use permit criteria, the overall use for the site is not proposing to change at all. Outside of additional storage for vehicles, so there are no hazards related to the proposed conditional use permit amendment. With regard to traffic, again, their goal is to expand capacity on their particular site, which of course is only going to help some of the traffic situation in the area. And when they're able to accommodate that traffic on this particular site, they'll be able to park their employee parking on the parking to the south. So again, this is really kind of that the long-term solution to solving some of the issues there. Again, we focused on compatibility with surrounding uses. This site, similar to the last one, is within an existing shopping center. In fact, it's already built, so we're just talking about revisions to try and make it more functional. Again, it's at the rear of the Rooney Ranch Shopping Center, which is that graphic on the top there. Many folks, of course, are familiar with that. The existing building will remain, and again, the storage area will be fully screened from both the multi-use path as well as future development. The applicant has included some renderings, and they'll get into a little bit more detail during their presentation of what that screen wall can look like. So these graphics are from the east, the Rooney Ranch Shopping Center, looking west. So again, the goal and aim being that those vehicles stored outside are entirely obstructed from view from neighboring properties. Oh, I would like to point out that several conditions have been included in attachment one to require that all vehicles awaiting repair must be stored within this new storage area so that the other property can accommodate their code required parking for employees and for customers. So if they have more vehicles than they can accommodate at the time, they're going to have to figure out other arrangements, as that will be a condition of the conditional use permit, as well as, again, making sure that the landscaping on the outside of the screen wall is enhanced to fill some of those existing gaps and really minimize any view impacts. With regard to consistency to the goals and policies of the general plan, again, the key focus was compatibility. The site, again, is within an existing commercial shopping center, and extensive screening has been incorporated to mitigate any potential impacts from the storage of those vehicles. And as I said before, the operations of the site are not going to change, so the operational hours are going to stay the exact same as what they are today. So with that in sum, again, the applicant is trying to accomplish two things, really, to seek permission to be able to store vehicles outside and replace that existing condition that prohibits outdoor storage of vehicles with the new one that just requires that it has to be behind the screened storage area, and then also to be able to get those site changes approved to be able to go ahead and move forward with those enhancements to be able to address some of the situation out there today. Again, that redesign does result in a number of increased spots, a little more than double. And again, there's a screen wall and landscaping that will help mitigate any potential visual impacts. So with that, staff recommends conditional approval of the amended CUP. And again, Chair, the applicant is here with a presentation as well.
Thank you. Looks like we have the applicant, Mr. Brent Flory.
So my name is Brett Flory. I'm with Cross Architects, and I live in Plano, Texas. And I've been working with Caliber for about 11 years and do most of the work all over the country. Basically, on this location, I guess you're a little bit familiar with Caliber already since they've been here for a while, but basically they are the largest collision repair company in the world. They have over 1,600 locations all over the country. And they have over 25,000 employees, so they're kind of the industry leader in their field, and they want to run a first class kind of organized and neat organization and operation, and helping get the screen wall installed will help them manage their kind of success they've had at this location. Basically, we're proposing to install a 8-foot-tall precast concrete screen wall. Right now, we're showing a stone pattern on that, so that'll sort of match what they're doing next door. We're proposing to, this screen wall will screen all the vehicles waiting to be repaired. They'll All damaged vehicles will be stored behind the screen wall, and all repaired vehicles that customers may be waiting to come pick up will be secured behind the screen wall as well. We are installing it all the way around the building. We kind of reworked the site to double the amount of parking back there. They do all of their work inside the building, and so even, you know, there's no work being done, you know, outside the building, even behind the screen wall. But this will screen the vehicles from all four directions, from the shopping center parking lot, and there will be a building next door, it sounds like, screening it from the other direction, and then we're going to, this is what it looks like from the shopping center parking lot. And this is what it looks like from the walking path. One of the conditions is to have trees all the way across the screen wall back there, so you won't be able to see down inside the screen wall. And we take no issue with that condition or any of the other conditions as well. This is what it looks like inside the parking area. But all the Caliber Collisions have a outdoor vehicle storage. And this one just happened to be part of an expansion. We actually did their drawings on this 7 years ago, but and so they've outgrown it basically, and now they need to add this to stay in compliance and be able to manage their workflow going forward. So just let me know. Happy to answer any questions that you might have.
Thank you, sir. At this time, I would like to open up the public hearing. And it looks like we have one blue card, Mr. Paul Loomis.
Good evening again. And I'm Paul Loomis, a resident of Oro Valley. I was also involved in the condition that was put on the automotive uses back in when it was originally approved, that there would be no vehicles parked or stored west of the repair buildings. I'm concerned that this parking expansion is not adequate for the number of vehicles that are currently illegally parked in Mercado del Rio. Last month, I counted over 65 vehicles at 1 o'clock on a Friday afternoon. This morning, there were over 25 at 10 o'clock. Six of these were parallel parked on Vuelta Caminita del Rio, barely allowing room for two-way traffic. Based on my views as I drive by this site almost daily, those counts are probably very low. Unfortunately, something must be done, even if it is a Band-Aid. The proposal includes 42 new spaces for vehicles awaiting service. It does not include additional spaces for employees or customers bringing in cars for estimates. One drove in and was parked in the dirt lot while an employee and the owner inspected the vehicle while I was counting vehicles this morning. Based on the past counts and continuing daily significant noncompliance, what is the long-term corrective action? My suggestion is to buy lot 15, pave it, and create a pay parking lot. If the amount of work and the vehicles remain steady based on the last 2 years of daily noncompliance, eventually employees are going to be parking at the trailhead to the west or Rooney Ranch Shopping Center if Mercado del Rio develops. As a general comment, 12 to 8 feet screen walls around each of these properties eliminate any sense of openness or community within the Mercado del Rio and should be considered as if additional development is proposed for this site. It certainly will no longer be Oro Valley's answer to Casas Adobes or St. Philip's Plaza. I urge you to approve the proposed amendment as a conditional use permit for Caliber Collision with the additional conditions. Caliber Collision or current owner to develop a plan or agreements with other neighborhood property owners for overflow parking associated with employees. All vehicles, that's number one. Number two is all vehicles awaiting service, including those awaiting estimates, must be stored or parked within the screened property. Add that to your condition number one. I underlined the items that should be added.
Sorry, your time has expired.
The only question I have for you would be, if this CUP is approved, does that eliminate the condition for no vehicles parked or stored west of the repair buildings? Thank you.
At this time, I will close the public hearing. Does any of commissioners have any questions or comments for us town staff or the applicant? Commissioner Clark.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. A couple of questions. So what is the largest number of cars that you've had on this lot? Because I have seen the overflow. I've had my car there before, and it's a lot.
I believe that we have, right now there's like 30-something parking spaces. And this is the repair shop in the back. They also have the other building in front of this. So I don't know exactly how much parking they have in the building in front of it. But this building, they have like 36 or something, and we're 34. We're proposing, I think, 76. So it's just a little over doubles the number of parking. Just on here where the shop is, and this is where all the production work is. Parking is a challenge here, and we've tried to maximize as much as we can, you know, for them so they won't run into any problems in the future. We take no issue with his recommendations, his conditions. They are in a position now where they can manage it, and they've studied it and feel like they can manage it. The only other option really is for them to move out and leave, and they don't want to do that. They like this location and like being in Oro Valley. So hopefully that answered your question.
No, not really. I'm just wondering if 78 parking spaces is going to be enough, because I know with supply chain issues, I recently had my car in the shop, and it took a month just to get the piece that I needed. Yeah. So that's just what I'm getting at, is 78 spots going to be enough?
Yeah, I understand your question now. So basically, the way they operate is, if a car is drivable, then you'll bring the car in. The service rider will come out, do an inspection, coordinate with the insurance company, talk about it. If it's totaled, then they'll haul it out of there within 24 hours to a salvage yard, because they don't want to keep total vehicles here. But if it's fixable, then what they'll do, if it's drivable, they'll send you home, schedule an appointment, order the parts, and then when the parts come in, you'll come at a scheduled appointment, and then the car will be going right into production. And because, you know, they want to turn the vehicle around as fast as possible. It has become more of a challenge over the last 2 or 3 years because it's harder to get parts. That's part of their problem, you know, here, and it's a problem everywhere. But typically on a building, you know, we have a lot of prototype buildings we do, and buildings like this that are renovations. And typically the average caliber collision probably has like 50 or 60 parking spaces. So this is, and plus when you count the spaces, you know, for the building in front of it, this, as far as parking goes and how they're managing their workflow, this is above average parking, especially for the size building. So they feel confident that they can manage it and make it work with this setup here.
One final question. So what happens if you do exceed those 78 spots? Because parking along the streetways there, obviously they're so narrow. We need emergency vehicles in there. It's just not a good answer.
Well, they'll have to just, like, not take in, you know, any more cars. I don't know exactly sure how close their nearest location is. It's miles away, I believe. So they would have to try to send it to another location, or the insurance company may have to send it to another, you know, company, a different service provider.
Thank you very much.
Commissioner Nichols.
Yes, thank you, Chair. I want to ask about the building to the south. Did I understand that there was to be no outside parking at all?
Okay.
Thank you, Chair. Commissioner Nichols. So, right, so there are two different conditional use permits, one for the building we're talking about here and then one for the original Caliber Collision just south. The one in question. So that, and this answers Mayor Loomis's question a little bit too. So that conditional use permit still has conditions on it that say no outdoor storage of vehicles is permitted. So that condition will continue. So our goal in working with the applicant on this approach was that those vehicles awaiting storage will be stored in the storage yard on this particular lot that we're talking about, freeing up those spaces on the south building to be able to have employees parking there or customers parking there. So, you know, we've been, again, working with this as like the long-term solution to try and address that issue. So moving forward, let's say hypothetically this is approved, right, they're going to have to find a way to keep vehicles awaiting repair only in the storage yard and freeing up the other spots for customers and employees. Otherwise, they'll be in violation of that conditional use permit. And so that'll be something that we will continue to work with them on. So I hope that answers your question.
Yeah, that was my question because I thought I was hearing that they were going to park on the south, at the south building as well. But you confirmed everything has to be behind the wall or the gate of all the cars. So only employees or customers that are there for a, you know, initial consultation or pick up their car could be in the other lot.
Right.
Yep. Okay.
Commissioner Sherman.
Thank you, Chair. This is for Mr. Spaeth. The diagrams on the slide that we're showing right now, it's a beautiful wall. Do you anticipate or do you think that with the screening and everything, it's going to be hard to find a collision caliber and they're going to come and ask you to put signs on the wall?
Chair Harrington, Commissioner Sturman, I would not expect that, no. So this graphic is from the rear of the Rooney Ranch Shopping Center. So if folks are coming to the Caliber Collision, they should be going past this portion of Rooney Ranch and turning in on, I can't remember the name that's right in front of Brakemasters there, but that main road right there, right? And so the facility to the south is not going to have the wall around it. So it's going to remain as visible as it is today with its signage there. So that's where they're going to have their customers showing up for consultations, et cetera. So, no, I guess long-winded answer to your question, I don't believe that that will be an issue.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. I actually have a question here. My question is for staff. Concerning with there's a new wall and there's a new gate that I saw that's on there. Mm-hmm. Now, would fire be able to get through these gates? Is there Knox locks or something there that they can go in after hours if there's an incident?
Chair Harrington, that's correct. Yes, so fire department will have access. There's a water utility access area behind the gate too, so they're going to have access as well. So, yes, that will be provided.
Thank you. Any other questions from any other commissioners? Okay. Do we have a motion on the floor? Commissioner Nichols.
Let's see. I'm trying to find it here. I move to recommend approval of the proposed conditional use permit amendment, subject to the conditions in attachment one, based on a finding the request is in conformance with the general plan and all applicable zoning code requirements.
Do we have a second?
Second.
Aye. All those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Any noes? Any abstentions?
No.
All right. Motion carries. Thank you very much. All right. Ms. Acona, do we have agenda item number four?
Discussion and possible action on the community engagement strategy for the 2026 general plan.
Look like we have Ms. Sims.
Good evening. Chair Harrington and commissioners, my name is Melanie Sims, and I'm our principal planner with the Town of Oro Valley. So our purpose with this item is to consider the community engagement plan for the 2026 general plan process. The community engagement plan is required by state law and represents the initial step in a three-year process. The process will culminate with the general plan being on the ballot in 2026. The purpose of the community engagement plan is to establish the tools and methods not only to achieve voter ratification, which is important, but also to create a plan that reflects the community's vision and values and inspires confidence as we implement it over the 10-year duration. The plan before you this evening is unique as it's built on resident input that was provided through an advisory group as well as a community service, rather than just being purely created by staff and a consultant, which is the typical process. This item is being presented tonight to the commission for discussion and possible action, and the Planning and Zoning Commission is tasked with providing a recommendation to Town Council. So in 2016, with that effort, the community engagement process resulted in thousands of comments and a plan that resonated with 71% of the voters. Community awareness and ownership is critical to achieving voter approval. People typically vote yes on something that they're aware of or have been involved with. So it's critical that residents are aware of the general plan, what it is, but also of opportunities that they can get involved in the process. Not only do we need awareness, though, we also need ownership of the process. Direct involvement is what creates advocates to help promote the plan. And as the community's plan, town staff's role is to help coordinate and educate, but not advocate for the plan. Again, although the vote is important, I'm terrible at getting it off. Thank you. Again, the vote is important, but equally as important is creating a plan that can be implemented and actionable over 10 years. The plan must reflect the community's broad demographics to do this, because it includes the values, vision, goals, and priorities of the community, and is ultimately the community's action plan. So to make the plan actionable, it must inspire confidence that it can be implemented over 10 years through various staff members as well as possibly multiple town councils. I think the advisory group worded it really well when they said the general plan is the roadmap for the town moving forward. The town prides itself on not just letting the plan sit on a shelf, but really creating a document that produces results. Instead, we deliver on the promises that we make during that community engagement process, and to do so, the goals and policies are created actions are prioritized every 2 years, and then we report on those, as you know, to the commission and council every year. The image on the screen shows our current progress on implementing the Your Voice, Our Future general plan. Community engagement is also important to understand the extent of changes to the current plan. So state law does specify the elements that must be in a general plan, and it's based on population size. As we approach 50,000 people, this general plan will be the most comprehensive we have to date. And as you can see on the screen, in 2016, we exceeded our state requirements and included several additional elements. But in addition to the blue and green elements that were all in the 2016 plan, we also now have to include some new ones, such as redevelopment, rehabilitation, and revitalization. There are also maybe other topics that the community is interested in and wants to add on to this list, but again, we won't know that until we get out into the community. So all of these factors are important as to why community participation and ownership is critical to the general plan process. The tools and methods in the community engagement plan provide flexible, convenient, effective, and transparent opportunities to not only inform the public, but work with residents of all ages to build consensus, share ideas and information with key stakeholders, and create a plan that is not only supported by a high margin of approval through the vote, but also can be implemented over 10 years. And that community engagement starts now. So it's really important even at this preliminary stage. Again, we had an advisory group that was composed of town council, youth advisory council, all boards and commissions. That includes many of the planning and zoning commission members to help really help create the primary building blocks of the plan. Staff and a consultant, Gorley Group, who's a local community engagement and marketing expert, worked with the advisory group to incorporate the results from a survey and create a plan that ensures all residents, especially those that aren't typically involved, are included in the process. The town also launched a survey to start the conversation about the general plan and identify the best methods to engage people. 706 people chose to complete the survey, and what this translates to is that we can have a 95% confidence that the survey represents the community. Of note is that 36% of the people who completed the survey moved here in the past 5 years, and 307 respondents did not participate in the previous general plan effort because they either did not know about it or weren't living here. As shown on the screen, there are several different avenues that people currently get information about town ongoings. And there are also new avenues that they would like to receive information moving forward about the town. And I think the big takeaway from the survey is that there's a need to increase general awareness to reach those people who weren't involved last time or just moved to town, and provide a multi-layered approach. The advisory group incorporated the survey results into the community engagement plan. So now I want to kind of get into some of the meat of the plan. First is the guiding principles. These are the overarching direction given into the plan that the tools and methods were evaluated against to make sure they were met. The advisory group came up with this list of must-dos to provide direction throughout the general plan process. The number one value is having an inclusive process that prioritizes community input. Specifically, resident input is the highest priority, so there's a variety of opportunities available to reach residents of all ages, especially those, again, that aren't typically involved. The process must be engaging, intentional, fair, and open. It's one that must maximize the existing resources, but include some new tools, again, to create a comprehensive and equitable process. To this end is making sure that the process is not only accessible to all age groups and stakeholders, but also geographically accessible to everyone in town, and that the results from this process are transparent so people understand how they made a difference in shaping Oro Valley's future. In addition to the guiding principles, the advisory group also helped refine the list of stakeholders to engage in the process, but also prioritize the level of engagement for each group. Input from all residents is the top priority to reach consensus on the community's vision, values, goals, and action items that are to be implemented over the next 10 years. Secondly, is working with field experts and other interested parties to share ideas and information. And then lastly, is working with regulatory groups, which includes regional jurisdictions, for instance, as prescribed by state law, to get them involved in the review of the plan. But the main aspect of the community engagement plan is really the tools and methods proposed to engage these folks. The tools will be implemented at various times throughout the process to be strategic. So the three-year process is divided into three different phases. The first phase includes the highest level of community engagement, and it's really to understand what the extent of changes to the plan are, what the areas of focus are in the community, and help gather the information to build the vision and guiding principles. So last time we received, again, thousands of comments online and through over 100 events, and this information was all filtered down to create the vision and guiding principles in our current plan. Now, the second phase is more focused committee work, and it's to turn all that community input into an action plan. So it's creating those goals, policies, and actions. And again, last time we had three different committees with roughly 15 members who spent time meeting and having those discussions with included residents and field experts and stakeholder groups to do that. And then lastly is the third phase, where we go back out into the community to provide review and make sure we heard everybody right, we got this right, and also using those advocates and ambassadors to help promote the vote. Again, making sure that all residents know about the general plan, not only what it is, but what their role is in the process, is critical to being successful. And as identified in the survey and confirmed by the advisory group, the proposed tools build on what was successful in 2016, but also add some new tools. This includes using an interactive website and getting out in the community like we did before, but also some more flexible and convenient options for folks, such as videos, text message subscriptions, signs around town. The plan includes tools and methods that are specifically focused on each stakeholder group to make sure that they're engaged in the way that the plan would like them to be. So again, with residents as being the top priority, is working together with them to build consensus. And so the resident group, they have the fullest tool chest, if you will, of options to get engaged and to provide input. And this includes ambassadors, people who help invite others and gather feedback, being at all the existing events or businesses they frequent, and committee work. For field experts and the stakeholder groups, it's again focused on accessibility and efficiency by meeting them where also they are at or having one-on-one interviews, and also inviting them to participate in committee work. And then lastly, for the regulatory groups, it's making sure that we're meeting all state requirements, but also having a conversation with them to make sure the plan works regionally as well. Now, the strategy for community engagement specifies the amount of each tool and the people power needed to actually implement the community engagement plan. The advisory group was presented with three different strategies that had different amounts of types and tools and types, excuse me. Ultimately, the advisory group chose an intermediate option in which they customized. That is what is reflected in the plan that was in your packet. Some of the customizations included more social media ads to engage especially the younger population, and removing any network advertising that had little return on investment because it included much more than Oro Valley. And although not under the purview of the Planning and Zoning Commission, the strategy helps establish the budget for the overall general plan. The bulk of the cost for the general plan is community engagement. And this also includes the tools and, again, the people power needed to implement the plan. The advisory group was concerned about the estimated costs, but it's important to note that the highest magnitude of outreach that the town participates in is the general plan process. The estimated costs are also in line with what was spent back in 2016. You can see on the chart there a little bit of a comparison. The blue is what was spent in 2016, and the orange is what's proposed. Now, the increases are due to inflation and some of the new tools that were implemented to help increase awareness and transparency. The cost will be divided among four fiscal years, and this is purposeful so that they can be evaluated and adjusted accordingly based on that community input on how big the change is, but also to adjust based on what works and what doesn't work as we go through this process. Also, the cost will continue to be refined and included in the town's overall budget, which is considered by town council each fiscal year. So approval of the community engagement plan sets the trajectory for the entire general plan process. Once approved, the next step will be a branding effort to identify the name of the next general plan, and then the official kickoff will happen later this fall. The Planning and Zoning Commission will be invited to participate in all aspects of the general plan, including committees, but also be routinely updated. And this includes updates on how the implementation of the community engagement plan is going after each phase. And in summary, the community engagement plan creates a robust strategy that not only will achieve a voter ratification, but equally important, creating a plan that reflects the community's vision and values and inspires confidence for it to be implemented over the next 10 years. It is a very unique plan in that it includes already community input and reflects the values and methods that we heard from the survey as well as the advisory group. I do want to commend the advisory group for all their work. Again, I think this is a great plan moving forward, and therefore staff recommends approval. I'm happy to answer any questions, and Mr. Tom Baca from Gordley Group is also joining us this evening should you have questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Sims. Any questions or comments, concerns? Mr. Nick.
Thank you, Chair. Ms. Sims, great to see you tonight, and I thought you did a wonderful job with the advisory group. I think all of us up here participated at some level. So I do have a question. If we could go back to the budget slide. Mm-hmm. So I get the consultants and the website. What is the personnel? Is that, that's not city personnel? That's people we're going to hire? Or
Chair Harrington, Commissioner Nichols, great question. So the personnel is to hire two temporary staff members to help implement the community engagement plan. So that would be a temporary planner as well as a temporary office support, both of which would only be hired for the extent of the general plan process. So it would be like a three-year time period. And the planner would help attend events, coordinate the committee meetings, where the office specialists, they're more helping with paying invoices, volunteer coordination, aspects of that nature.
Okay, thanks. And just to follow up, I'm looking in the packet, and I see the budget, which was quite detailed. And it looks like last time we spent $576,000, roughly. I'm only adding up to about $400,000 in what you've shared with us.
Sure. So, Vice Chair Harrington, Commissioner Nichols, so the budget that was included in the packet did not include the fixed costs. So that's the personnel. So there will be an increase to that for the personnel.
Okay, that explains that. Yeah. And do we have any idea what other cities in Arizona spend on their general plan?
Sure. So, Chair Harrington, Commissioner Nichols, we have heard from Marana of what they spent, which was around $300. But I do want to caution us of comparing to other jurisdictions. And the reason being that most other jurisdictions do not do as much community engagement as we do. So rather than looking at what they spent, we looked at how much community engagement they did. And we do far more than others, but we also, that's why we have a plan that we can actually implement that has enough detail for us to get results with.
All right, Commissioner Clark.
Well, just kind of what Commissioner Nichols said, I went to your meetings and they were very well run. I appreciate very much what we're doing for the town. I love the car magnet ideas down there. Anyway, so that was really it. Just
thank you.
Good job on the meetings.
All right. Any other questions from any other commissioners? Hearing none, do we have a motion on the floor? Commissioner Clark.
I move to recommend approval of the community engagement plan for the 2026 general plan effort.
Do we have a second?
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
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 Any noes? All right. Motion carries 5-0. All right. Next we have a community plan update?
Thank you, Chair. We don't have a planning update. I would just throw out to the commission that we are anticipating several neighborhood meetings coming up in the next several months, so just keep an eye out for that. We do not have any items currently scheduled for next month's commission meeting.
Thank you very much. I would like to have a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second for that?
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
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 All right. Motion carries. We are adjourned. Thank you very much. Have a great night. Thank you, everyone.